Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
The Old Testament prophet writes, following the words of a heartsick Israel who recently lost their king of 52 years, King Uzziah had reigned in strength and prowess. He was righteous. The nation had expanded its borders to encompass the largest amount of territory they had ruled since the days of David. They had built walls of fortification around their cities. Weapons of war had been perfected and munitions had been stored. They were a ruling world power. Their confidence had grown with the protection of the power of the king. But their worldview was about to change. Death visited the palace. The king was gone. The future was uncertain. The enemy started encroaching. Fear entered the heart of the nation. But Isaiah has an encounter with God Almighty. Isaiah is fearful because of the visitation, fearful because of his uncleanness. Woe unto me, I am a man of unclean lips among unclean people. But the angel lifts him off from his prostrate position, and he touches his mouth with coals from the fire, and he purifies him. That's the altar of sacrifice. The altar of sacrifice will bring purity to your life and my life. God is looking for someone to go for him. He is speaking with the angelic host, it appears, not directly to Isaiah. And he said, who will go and who shall I send? And so Isaiah volunteers for the task. And shortly after, the word of the Lord goes forth in Isaiah 9 and 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of his peace, there shall be no end. I want you to hear that when Brother Staten said revival's coming and harvest's coming. We just got to decide if we're going to be a part of it. God's kingdom is ever increasing. It's not shrinking. He's not holding the fort. He's not defending his little island. But God is aggressive. He is on the offensive. And that's what we must be. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it. And to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The energy of the God of the armies of heaven will perform this. If God says it, it is going to happen. Let's thank him for that. You may be seated in Jesus' name. This written word of God, which was first spoken in the ear of Isaiah, changed Isaiah's whole way of thinking. It turned his mourning into rejoicing. It's turned his expectation or his looking toward defeat and the demise of a nation to looking toward the future and victory and triumph. His focus and his attention became future-oriented rather than past-grounded. It transformed his ministry and it made him what we theologians call a messianic prophet. And time again from that moment on, he declared the coming of the anointed one, the Lord, the Christ, the Savior, the King. Isaiah becomes the most prolific writer of the promise of the coming Messiah. We fast forward over 800 years. And the birth of the church is past. The church has grown tremendously, and the church has now affected the capital city of Rome, the ruling power of the then known world. The culture of the day is pressing hard against the Christian lifestyle. And do I hear a witness that that's the way it is in our world? I want you to hear what it was like. Persecution has come and scattered the people of the way, the Christians. The roar of lions is now heard in the Colosseum. The crackle of tar and the smell of burning flesh and agonizing screams of Christians echo down the cobblestone streets of Rome. To stand up for Jesus is the equivalent of a death sentence. It's almost as if you're saying, "Here's my life, take it all." Others were relying on their own good works to qualify them for acceptance by God. But some of the Christians were losing their focus and forgetting the purpose of the sacrifice of Calvary. It wasn't just, as was said this morning, to make us feel good and to save us and make us safe. It was to make us dangerous. It was to make us weapons in the hand of the mighty God. I want to wreak havoc on the kingdom of the enemy. I'm not challenging him face to face, but I am saying greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Tranquility is not in the vocabulary that would describe the lifestyle of the early believers. Affluence is not a distraction. Comfort is not lulling them to sleep. And Paul gives the words of wisdom breathed from the mouth of God and recorded in Romans 14 and 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. He said it's not about your ritual. It's not about your religion, but it's about the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost and fire burning in our spirits. We have got to be moved by the Spirit. My introductory remarks given for each scripture setting are purpose-filled and appropriate. All of us feel the pressure of societal change. All of us see the changing of moral norms and must wrestle daily to maintain our moral purity and our spiritual equilibrium. Humanistic indoctrination is constant. The appeal to feed the flesh is persistent. The call to be prosperous is relentless. Greed and selfishness are continually calling to our baser nature, our carnal man. All of us are aware that there is tremendous political upheaval, not just in our nation, but around the world. The people, the populism movement is rising up and say, "We want control. We want self-direction." Some of you are in spiritual battles that are stretching your faith. Thank God for that. We must not be comfortable. We must not fall asleep. We must hear the words of this same writer of Romans. It is high time to awake out of sleep. I'm not going to sleep my way into the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm going to be awake and ready and hearing his call to battle. Others of you feel as though you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and it creeps near, and depression is waiting upon your shoulders, and all the taunting of the enemy is, "I will destroy you. I will take everything you have. I'm taking your family. I'm taking your job. I'm taking your sanity." I rebuke that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not going to be subservient. He is seeking whom he may devour. And I say, no, you may not. But God, you can have your way and purpose in my life. Some of you are in spiritual battles that are stretching your faith, as I said. Some of you feel that you are walking in a struggle that will never end. Others have recently weathered a storm more intense than you expected and longer in duration. And a few stand on the edge of great struggle yet to come. I know we don't like to hear that, but that's just the way of life. Some of you may even feel abandoned by God, and a few may feel rejected by the general mass of humanity. But don't you feel like you're not in good company, because Jesus was rejected, he was despised, he was stricken, he was smitten, and they perceived it was of God. The events of recent days have caused our theology, emotions, courage, confidence, and faith to be challenged at times. And that's all right, because we are not here in the flesh to live after the flesh, but we are warring after the Spirit. My remarks today are not meant to merely challenge the intellectual realm of your life and give you something real comfortable to think about. This is not a cerebral message. It's not meant to challenge your brain and you go say, wow, that was cool, think about that. But no, this is meant to stir to the deepest emotions of our spirit and reach into the soul realm, into the eternal part of us. Reach into that part where the will and the reasoning of man meets and the determination of our passions are settled. Nor do I intend to give you a bunch of useless facts. I have no use or desire to tell an interesting story that will capture your attention for a few minutes and then you to forget it. Impressing you with obscure facts is not the purpose. My intention today, and I believe the design of God Almighty is for this moment in time, is to breathe hope and peace into your situation and mine. You and I can stand with the sword of the Lord in our hands. We can stand ready to speak the word of God, and there can be chaos all around, and we can stand with great confidence. The Lord is my helper. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? There's nothing more wonderful to know that the enemy is coming and he will be destroyed. There is nothing that gives me greater peace and hope but to read the end of the book and read that with the word of his mouth, he breathes on them and they all melt away and there is no place found for them. Oh, that's the God that we serve. He's working tonight, even when you don't see it. He's working, even when you don't feel it. He's working. I was reminded as Brother Staten told his story. For years, his mama was praying, and there's a war waging in heaven. All you have to do is go back and read Daniel's account and how finally the angel showed up and said, nobody but your angel, Michael, stood with me. We fought against the principal Persia for 21 days, but those princes are entrenched in our city. They've got not just a toehold, but they got the hearts of men and minds of men. They have blinded their eyes, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have nothing to fear. The creatures of the dark always scramble when the light comes on. It's only when there's a spiritual eclipse that the darkness is prevailing, that the darkness is closing in. I think of the Egyptians and how God sent a plague of darkness, and the Bible says that, well, there's darkness that you could feel. And it didn't say the Israelites lit candles. It said, but there was light in the dwelling place of the Hebrew children. It doesn't matter how dark it is out there. It's light inside there. And when I go and when I speak and when I act, I share the light of God's love. When we leave this house of God, we must not leave exactly as we came, ever, never. We must leave radically changed each time, progressively going from faith to faith and glory to glory and strength to strength. By his very nature, the Savior of mankind and the head of this church, Jesus Christ, is peace. Peace. The prophecy from which we initially read reveals the nature of the God we serve. He said he didn't come to bring peace, but he came to bring a sword. But he left peace with us. And sometimes the only way that you can, the Bible doesn't say blessed are the placators. It said blessed are the peacemakers. And sometimes the bad peace, you've got to wage war. You and I had to wage war against our flesh to have peace in our spirit. You had to die, dude. You had to crumble and say, not my will, but thine be done. It continues on and on repetitively. It's not a one-time thing. It's a lifestyle. The God we served is in control of the commodity of peace, and He can give or withhold peace. He can lose peace when He chooses, and He can chase away the storm clouds of fear, doubt, anxiety, rejection, and confusion, because He is peace and He is joy. His love and His peace can chase away any storm. I'm not telling you you're not going to have storm. I believe truth in packaging. Hey, if they tell me it's going to get 28 miles to the gallon and it gets 14, I'm not happy. Just give it to me up straight. I'm telling you, this living for Jesus is going to cost you absolutely everything. We've got to die to the flesh to live to the Spirit. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. I am not taking this body, thank God, to heaven. You're right. Some of you said size 2. Well, I won't want to be a size 2. I want to be something else. But oh, when I get to heaven, I'm going to wake in His likeness, and we shall know Him, for we shall be like Him. But we got to die to do it. Reaching back to the beginning of the scripture and the scriptural understanding of creation, the power of the spoken word of God is revealed. I said this and somebody got angry and left the church recently, but I'm going to say it again. I don't believe it and blab it and grab it, name it and claim it. God didn't give us His word to declare that we're going to get a new vehicle or a new house or we're going to feed the flesh. He gave us His written word and His spoken word to wage war on the enemy and bring freedom and peace and victory and healing and triumph to the lost souls that we come into contact with in our community. And so Moses writes, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth in Genesis 1 and through 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. He was waiting. He was there. He was present. But it wasn't until He spoke that something happened. Oh, do you feel God hovering? Do you feel Him waiting? As long as you can feel Him in His life, you're life, you know that someday, somehow, some way, when the moment's just right, He's going to be say stop or go. He's going to withhold or He's going to loose. And then God said, let there be light in verse number 3, and there was light. Whatever God says, it happens. And now, reading from the words written by the Apostle Peter during this time of tumult in the world, after having declared that Jesus Christ is coming in again one day in the clouds with power and great glory with Him, he writes in 2 Peter 3 and 3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to the lust of the flesh. Now I want to stop there just a minute. The people who say Jesus is not coming again, they're wrong, and they're living according to the flesh. There is a doctrine called preterism that is prevalent in the evangelical church world and some others right now that says Jesus has already come, and we just are living in the millennial reign. It's truth. They're preaching it. They've been saying it. Well, the Bible warns about that spirit of Antichrist that says Jesus has already come. No, He's coming again, and He's coming with power. He's coming with fire. He's coming with an army from heaven. But He said the scoffers saying, where is His coming? Verse 4, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of the God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water by which the world then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. You're probably wondering, preacher, why are you shouting at me when you say we're going to end talking about the peace of God? That's a good question. I believe God's going to take us on a roller coaster ride here, and we're going to land in a place of great peace and triumph. But I cannot say it more emphatically than what the scripture has said. People that have said Jesus is not coming again, they're stupid. They're blind. They're willfully ignoring the challenge from God that he was going to destroy the earth by the flood. It came out of the water because of him. It went under the water again because of him. And one day it's all going to burn. So it doesn't matter what you wear or what you live in or what you drive or where you work or how many degrees you have. It's all going to burn one day. And I want to be ready and I want to take somebody with me to heaven. I want to make disciples. The word of God is what brought our world into existence, both the visible and the invisible. The word of God loosed the torrent of the great flood to destroy the earth. And the word of God will one day unleash fire on this world. And that same word will declare a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We know God's track record. It's better than ours. I want to pause for a moment and ask God to speak into your situation and mine. Can we open our hearts? Can we stand right now? I'm not done preaching. And I want you to speak over the situation of your life and say, God, I need a job and I need you to speak into my situation. I need your word to speak into my need. Lord, I need peace in my turmoil. I have a physical ailment. I have a disease. I have a sickness. Go ahead and tell it to God. Give it to him and say, Lord, I want you to speak into this situation. I desperately need a word from you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh God, we need your word. We need your voice. We need to hear your voice like Isaiah heard your voice. We need to hear the call. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Oh, and you can be seated. And John the Beloved wrote 1 John, then 2 John, then 3 John, then Revelation. And at the conclusion of his life, he wrote the book of St. John, reflecting of all upon his life, upon his relationship with Jesus Christ and who he was, upon his banishment to the Isle of Patmos, upon the torment by trying to boil him in oil. He looked back upon almost 90 years of living and wrote in John 1 and 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It doesn't say Jesus became flesh or the Son became flesh. It said the Word became flesh. That logos, that utterance that was in the beginning, the only way that we can know God by is his Word. No man has seen God at any time. We have, or some have seen the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, but they didn't see God. But one day, if you and I are faithful, if we let his word speak into our life, if we speak his word into our life, if we speak his word into the lives of others, we will see him. Many are the moments recorded in the written word of God that the manifest word of God loosed the spoken word of God and peace was released. I'm going to say that again because I use three phrases. Many are the moments in the recorded written word of God when the manifest word of God, Jesus, God in the flesh, loosed the spoken word of God and peace was released. If you remember in the book of John, he said, the words that I speak not of myself, but of him that sent me. You'll notice that very rarely do I say, thus saith the Lord, because I want to make sure if I speak for God, it really was God. God. I want to speak the words that He gives me. You can speak the words that He has given thee. Yea, it's nigh thee, even in thy mouth. He said to the apostles, don't worry about what you're going to say when they drag you off to court. Don't worry about what you're going to say when they question you about your faith. I'll tell you what to say. The only way that I'm going to know what God wants me to say is I got to know His voice. And the only way I'm going to know His voice is I've got to have communion with Him. I've got to talk to Him and let Him talk to me, not just by the written word, but by His voice in my ear saying, this is the way, walk therein. The boy was possessed of a demon. He was tormented. He was often in danger, throwing himself into the fire. The spirit that had possessed him was trying to destroy him. He was thrown then into the water, and his family was in turmoil. His parents were in turmoil. His father needed to find deliverance for his son. The disciples were not able to cast out the devil. Jesus had been on what we now call the Mount of Transfiguration. They're down below and they can't do anything about it. And Jesus comes down from the mountain. And the manifest Word of God walks down from the mountain. The one who had just been transfigured before Peter and James and John. And of all things, He looks at him and says, don't tell anybody till after I rise again. Yeah, right. That's why God hasn't shown you some things. You just can't keep your mouth shut. Now, sometimes we need to open it, and sometimes we need to just keep it shut till the right time. There's a time and a space. God's told me He's going to heal and deliver some people, but not yet. But I'm ready, and as soon as He says it, it's going to come out of my mouth if I'm submitted to the Word of God. And so in Matthew 17 and verse number 15, the father comes and says, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's epileptic and he suffers severely and he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. The manifest Word of God spoke the Word of God and said, I rebuke you, come out. Sister Carol was asking me today, how is it that we can believe that we're baptized and our sins are washed away and we have a hard time believing for God to heal us? We have a hard time believing He's going to quell the storm. We have a hard time having peace when there's tumult all around us. When I say we, that's you and me. Sometimes it's a struggle. It's fear, anxiety, pressure, depression. All of that comes, and it seems like we're right at the bottom, and that's just exactly where God has wanted me so many times, is at the place where said, I can't do this. It's only going to be by your help. It's only going to be by your strength, so He can get all the glory. God wants glory from your life. There was great peace in the heart of the father and the life of the boy after Jesus spoke and rebuked the demon. He didn't say, come out of him. He just said, come out of him. She was sitting right there, not you. Young lady, we'd cast the devil out of her a couple weeks before. Pastor Ram brought her back and said, the devil's back. The Holy Ghost spoke to me as I walked over and said, all you children go like this. She's having personal relationships with a man and she needs to cut it off, and that's where the spirit came from. You better be careful who you hang out with and how close you get to them. Your spirit's like sticky tape. You rub up too close and you get some of them on you and they get some of you on them, and usually the pollution affects the clean water, the Bible says. The clean doesn't purify the dirty, but the dirty pollutes the clean. You do that often enough and you're carrying around all kinds of spirits. So I leaned over her and I said, are you doing this? She popped her eyes open. I knew her name only because Pastor Ram had told me a couple weeks earlier what her name was. And I said, you better quit that. And I said, if you don't, that demon's going to come on you and you're never going to be delivered. And then I whispered in her ear and I said, devil, you shut up and don't say a word and come out. She just started speaking in tongues. I was just right in her ear. It's not about a show. It's about knowing what the Lord is trying to do and speaking for Him. Does anybody want to speak for God? That's the only way my world is going to be saved. That's the only way your troubles are going to be satisfied or fixed, is if God speaks into your life. And He spoke. He rebuked the demon and said, come out. There wasn't a wrestling match. There wasn't any thrashing. There wasn't any screaming. I remember years ago, my mentor, and I asked him to be my pastor when I came to pastor, Brother Fred Scott. He said to me, Steve, don't let the devil make a show. That's all he wants. Just tell him to shut up. And he saw hundreds of people delivered from demons when he was in South America. And so we don't let him make a show. If the devil shows up, man, I'll walk over and tell him, get out of here. And you don't even know they were here. Why? Because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. God gave peace in just a moment's time. And the Lord wants to speak peace into your circumstances tonight. And if you'll stand with me, I just got a few more illustrations. And so, the disciples had listened to Jesus teach most of the day, and then one of these men lent his boat as transport for Jesus to go across the sea into the land of the Gadarenes, where all the half-backslid Jews were. And it's evening time, and the sun's setting, and the shore could no longer be seen, and the Bible says a great storm arose. One translation said they were in jeopardy, not the TV show. These were sea-tested sailors, and they expended all of their options, and peace evaporated, and fear began to take hold. Because everything was about the circumstances. That's when I get in trouble. Has anybody tried to analyze their way out of problems? I'm not telling you to be brain dead, but you can't fix a spiritual problem with a logical answer.
That's right.
His ways are way up here, and yours are crawling on the floor. And the demons have been watching his ways for a long time. And they've been watching the ways of man. And they're cunning and crafty. That's why we need the greater is he that is in us. That's why we need the word of God. We need the voice of God. We need to be able to speak some things in the spirit. But to speak those things into the spirit, we've got to be filled with the spirit. And Jesus is asleep. Kind of like some of you when you get afraid. My wife says, women talk about it and guys go hide. Do I have a witness? Fight or flight. Some of us just go, come on, baby. Jesus is asleep. God manifest in the flesh. The Word made flesh. The Word embodied has no fear. Because He knows just when it's about to tip over, all He has to do is say, peace, be still. And they awakened him and said, do you not care that we perish? And he said, oh, why are you fearful, you of little faith? He was about ready to strengthen the faith of the disciples. They saw him as a Rabboni, master, teacher. But he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. One translation says, he rose and said, hush now. He was a southerner. Hush now. We'd say shut up. Hush now. Right, Sister Terry? Hush. Hush. We think we have to say shut up. And he just says hush. And that swirling sea and those blistering winds just pew. And immediately there was a great calm. And they looked at one another and says, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? He wasn't just a man. He was God made man. God manifest in the flesh. So when he spoke, he didn't speak just fleshly words. He spoke of him that sent him. And there was a great calm. I was having a conversation with Brother Dan Mack. He was here and did the children's Holy Ghost revival and taught our teachers. And I don't know, we were talking about our health and weight loss and everything. And he was talking about all the weight he lost, and then he said he was doing all kinds of exercising and he had to quit because all of a sudden at work, all the letters he was typing on his computer started falling off the desk. He said, something's wrong here. So he pushed away from the desk and he called his wife to tell her what was going on, and he couldn't explain to her what was going on. So he said, I went and got in my truck. And I told her, I'll meet you at home. He said, how stupid is that? And he said, so I got in my truck and I started driving home. And he said, as I began to drive, I began to pray in the spirit. And he said, by the time I got home, the ambulance met me there. They took me to the doctor and said, you had a brain bleed, and we don't know when it went on. And by the time they got done examining him, everything was normal, and he's never had another incident. And he said, you know, I got to thinking that Romans 8 says, and the Spirit maketh intercession for us, for we know not what to pray. Helping our infirmities. You know what an infirmity is? It's a sickness that's caused by demonic activity. I'm not saying you're demon-possessed, but some of you, the reason you're struggling is because it's a battle for your soul. It's not about your body. It's about your soul. But you heard what the devil said. He said to God about Job, just let me have his body, because skin for skin. Man will do anything to save his skin. He'll do anything to save his body. And God says, oh, you just don't know. Go ahead. Maybe that's what's happening to you right now. And there's a struggle in your life and you don't understand. But oh, when you begin to speak the unctionized word of God, when you begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Sometimes it comes out in other tongues. Sometimes it comes out in English. Don't you worry. The devil understands all of it because he knows the power that is behind the words that you and I speak, because it's the Holy Ghost in us. It's the same Spirit that dwelt in Christ Jesus that dwells in your mortal bodies. And after the great calm, they arrived in the place of the great Gadarenes. And it was likely through the thought process of the man that it took root and rebellion or idolatry grew, and demons entered into the spirit of the man who lived near the seashore. His family had been in constant turmoil and his life was in upheaval and he could no longer function in the mainstream of society. He lost his ability to earn a living and he was chained to tombs, and the only people that made profit of him was the people that made change because he kept breaking it. And he was in constant turmoil. But the manifest word of God stepped on the seashore of his life. And he screamed, "Ah! What have we to do with thee? Have you come to torment us before our time?" But the other part of him fell and worshiped. And worshiped him. There's a battle going on for your souls and my souls and for the souls of everybody that we rub shoulders with in this world. And I promise you, I've got to fight with my flesh to remember that every day when I'm going through the coffee line and thinking about that warm chocolate going down my throat. Sometimes I forget that the girl that's handing me my mocha is bound in chains of sin, and the individual that's behind me is wrestling for their spiritual survival, but oh, God has given me his spirit. They said, please don't send us to hell. Let us go live in the pigs. That's why you knew they were half backslid. There were Jews that were eating pigs. And those demons, a legion. A legion is 6,000 soldiers. Couldn't destroy one man, but they drowned 2,000 hogs in the lake. The devil can't kill you. He can't destroy you because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, thou, O Lord, art a fence around me. You're my sword and my shield. You're the glory and the lifter up of my head. The war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. We don't have to fear evil. God wants to speak peace into your life and into my life. I would guess one of the most tumultuous times in the lives of the disciples is 3 days after Jesus died, maybe four. And they're hiding in probably the upper room where they had dipped the sop and watched Judas walk out. And with great consternation and bewilderment, watched Jesus wash their feet. And heard him say, "I'm going to die, but don't you worry, I'll be back." They think he's still dead. The shutters are closed. The door's bolted shut. Nobody can see into the room. And the Bible says in John 20 and 19, "And then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, 'Peace, be still.'" I mean, would you get the heebie-jeebies? It's like, poof. "Don't worry, it's all right. Calm down." And when he had said this, he showed him his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad and they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." So we've been hearing about this for years now, and especially emphatically over the last year and a half, is that we're disciples. Disciples go and make disciples. We're sent. We're not just called, we're sent. We're commissioned. Now go to war. Go fight the devil. Go cast out devils. Go speak with new tongues. Go heal the sick. Go raise the dead. Go, go, go.
says, just like my Father sent me, I send you. But he sent them with peace in their heart, because they had seen a man die on a cross, and now he was living and breathing in front of them. You see, just when he began to tell them about his death or his impending demise, in John 14 and 27, he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I want to read that passage of Scripture in the Amplified Version, and I know it's really wordy, but this is the way it goes. Peace I leave with you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Bequeath, it's like, okay, this is my first, last will and testament. I'm leaving. Not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And look at the parenthetical statement. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. He says, quit that. Don't allow that to happen. And do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Now, if God tells us don't do that, that means that we're fully capable. I remember times when I was anxious. Anybody ever been anxious, had anxiety? Anybody had it lately? Good, you're probably fighting a war. I remember having great anxiety. God talked to me about it. And he said, be anxious for nothing. But in everything with prayers and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the God of peace shall rule your heart and mind. And so what I learned to do is when I feel anxious, to say that's really anticipation, Steve. Talk to yourself, right? I listen to the voices. Is what he's saying is when you're afraid, tell yourself, you can't do that. Said, die, quit it. Joe, no more. Aaron, forget it. Michael, stop. Don't let yourself be agitated by what's going on in the world. There's plenty of turmoil in the world, but he says, don't let that happen. No. Don't let that happen because I've left my peace with you. So tonight I say, he left his peace with you and me. What are you going to do with it? So he looked at the church and through the prophet Jude, and I didn't give this to the sound tech people. We read, see if you can find the whole chapter of Jude. Verse 17 says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus, how they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. You guys are good. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So he says, when you feel that anxiety, don't go there. You ever heard anybody say that? Don't go there? Usually they mean shut up, right? Don't go there. But Jesus was saying, don't let yourself be agitated. And tonight, I'm going to ask us to do an exercise. Now, we can't do this on command. I'm going to ask us all together at the front and begin to pray. And when we begin to pray, just let the Spirit pray for you. When the Spirit begins to unctionize you, when you feel the Holy Ghost, just start talking in tongues and pray in the Spirit. And through praying in the Spirit, the love of God is going to cast out all fear. And when fear is gone and love begins to saturate us, then peace is going to come into our circumstance and situation. And we're going to walk out of this house knowing that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world, that more are they that be with us than they that be with them, that He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He hasn't walked out on us. I'm going to keep myself in the love of God. Go ahead, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray with power and might. Let the Spirit pray through you. And as the Spirit prays through you, the spoken word of God is going forth against the powers of darkness, against those infirmities that would make you sick and would steal your joy and would steal your sanity and your peace and your sleep.